So everyone's here for the history of Mary Poppins, right? Is everyone here to have a little bit of fun, get a little bit of education? All right, well, we're done. So we'll give it 30 more seconds. 29, 28. The last guy through the door has to bring us another drink. All right, I am Jim Nettles. I am going to be your moderator and probably... Come on in. Have a peek. This is not the panel to be shy, but since you're the last ones through the door, we'll be calling on you for a question. So a couple of quick things and then we'll do introductions. We are doing this, you know, we're glad to have such a great presence here on Saturday night when everybody else could be out partying, but what are you here for? So yes, give us a little love when this is over with the app. We do want this to be sort of, I'm not going to call it a safe space because we're going to push some boundaries, we're going to test some boundaries, but please be respectful with when you ask your questions. We're going to be reaching out to you to come with questions and these sorts of things. So we want this space to be a free and open conversation because God knows I've had a couple of drinks. So is everybody ready to have a little bit of fun and lighten up a little bit as we go into sex tech? My name is Jim Nettles. I am a business and technology consultant. I work in a number of different fields and have for a very long time. I am also a science fiction and fantasy author. I write under James B. McDonald, as well as a few other names as well. I do contributions to a number of different tech organizations, magazines, these sorts of things. I'm going to turn it over to my other panelist here.
My name is Adrienne McDonald. I am a performance coach, and most of my practice is centered around sexual transmutation. Most of my clients come to me, they either want to make more money or have more sex. So, and I'm down with both of that. I do have, however, a prior career about 20 years in technology, so it's like both of my careers have come together in deliciousness.
So we're going to talk a little bit about the history of sex tech, just sort of set a baseline to see where we're headed, where we're going. So if we look at the history of any sort of technology, it seems that we looked and created fire, and then the next thing that somebody did was they went out and created a dildo. You know, we look at the early days, you know, 18th century. We look at, you know, somebody comes up and says, ooh, electricity, steam power, this vibrates. We'll use this for a medical device.
To cure those hysterical women. So we're going to make it look really scary and weigh 40 pounds because size matters, and so does weight.
Speaking of film, what do? We go out, we create a motion picture camera, we have a screen, and the first thing that somebody says is somebody naked yet? The second film that was made, I'm pretty sure, was porn. So as we go through the ages and we start coming up with new tools, new technologies, new things, one of the first things we look to do is use them to fill our primal needs. We look, you know, we're down to the basics. Food, shelter, beer,
sex.
Oh, sex. Yeah, that too. Okay. So as we go through and start building out new tools and technologies, we're now in an age where technology is evolving extraordinarily rapidly. We have new tools, new things to play with on a daily basis. You know, one of the fundamental things that I think 99% of everyone in here can no longer live without is this little device, this little walking computer with an, you know, audio, video capabilities, broadcasting capabilities. This right here has transformed society. It's also transformed what we see culturally, you know, with sex. We see people creating home movies. We see people taking pictures. We see people sexting, sending, you know, all sorts of fun stuff around. But culturally and from a legal standpoint, we haven't caught up with that. We're still figuring out how to play with it. But we're going to play with it, and we get there by testing boundaries. And that's part of what we're here talking about tonight.
So sex tech is about a $30 billion industry of last stats with 2016. So if anyone wants to get into some new businesses, well, there's a lot of money to be made. Sex toys in worldwide, it was, $15 billion in 2016 were the stats of that. Most of that was, 25% was vibrators because, well, ladies, let's just say we have needs. And technology is finally catching up with us. But so there's all of this improvement, and what I really, really liked to have, what I really have liked seeing in the last probably 4 or 5 years, particularly probably in the last three, is you're seeing more female founders in the sex tech space, especially with devices. And one of my favorite people to follow on LinkedIn, and I highly recommend this, as well as Twitter, is a lady by the name of Cindy Gallup. She also has a fabulous TED Talk. She is the founder of Make Love Not Porn. Is a response to, she is an older lady. She's probably in her, older being relative, late 50s, early 60s. And she likes to date younger men. And she is also known as the TED Talk that says, please don't come on my face. Where are you getting your training? And it was turning out that the younger generation was getting a lot of their training and their exposure to sex via PornTube or, you know, various porn sites on the web. And she's like, oh, no. We need to do something about that. So she found Make Love Not Porn. But what she ran into is, I can't get funding for it. So she actually has a GoFundMe campaign and whatnot, and goes and speaks on this around the world, because so many of the younger generation is coming up, and that's actually how they're getting their sex ed. It is a money-making machine, and it's something that we've got the genie out of the bottle now, so we need to bring it into the light and have conversations. I have people routinely tell me things they wouldn't tell a priest or a rabbi or even their spouses. So I try to help people open up a little bit more about that.
Oh,
not well, that we have that problem.
So if we look at some of the new tools, technologies, since we started on vibrators, you know, it's gone from a battery power, well, something you plug into the wall that looks like a pile driver, to now very sculpted, very aesthetically pleasing devices that have remote controls,
apps,
cameras, sensors, all sorts of fun stuff on them, the ability to run them remotely. This carries their own problems, but that was last night's panel, so you're just going to have to deal with that later. We're on the fun side tonight. So if you look at those devices, those personal pleasure devices, the ability to do things remotely, use apps to come up with creative ways to control them. So 25% of the market's just on those.
And of course the guys have their things as well. I mean, there's a lot of markets that are doing the his and her thing now. Hey, so this is for her and this is for him, and then you can have the app and control each other's, right? But now we're starting to see in the high-end sex toy industry where Real Dolls, True Companion, these guys are now putting AI into some of the higher-end sex toys, sex bots. So those start around $6,000 and go up to, I think Harmony is $15,000. And you can customize Harmony with personality as well as aesthetics, right? You know, what color eyes, what color hair, et cetera, et cetera. She comes with a really soft mouth and soft teeth, too. So that's one of the features. And that's all in well and good. And I'm not against porn by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not against using toys any stretch of the imagination. One of the things we were talking about privacy last night on internet-connected sex toys, because your data is going back to these organizations that are putting out these things that are connected to the internet. What really I'm passionate about is the fact that we have a sex toy manufacturer that is putting out a sex bot that has a frigid setting. Farrah, the frigid one, to simulate rape. And so it gets into, you know, now you've got people that are coming up with these things of questionable with consent when they interact with a human being, and they become desensitized. So, you know, is this going to create a generation of people that now no longer have the ability to get the verbal and body cues to know when to stop? And the fact that we actually thought that that was a good idea to create frigid.
And there's also, not only that, there's also manufacturers coming into other niches, including ones that appear to be not legal. So we're finding people crafting devices, and because they are devices, whether you want to call them real doll, you know, whether, and I don't believe it's real doll that's making it, I'm trying to remember the company, they're actually making what are called underage dolls.
That's a Chinese one.
Yeah. So we're seeing people building technologies to suit very niche needs. But the next, you know, one of the first things we've seen was the first brothel open, and I believe it was Brussels. I keep meaning to go back and double check. But the first brothel that is worked by nothing but real dolls. Yes, I heard the question, what? You heard me correctly.
Yes.
The brothel is 100% staffed by real dolls and the janitors with shop vacs. I expected a bigger groan from that.
Can we work on that a little bit?
So as we're looking at the way that this is moving as a society, we have new tools, new technologies. When we start talking about the AIs we're putting into these devices, that we have the ability to encapsulate sensors that are very responsive, very sensitive, and we have the ability now to incorporate technologies that can be responsive without another human being on the other end. And so if I look at that, the first thought I have is Futurama. And you remember the educational video, if you've seen that particular episode, where they're like, Johnny learns to date the robot and they all lose the idea of procreation. Yes, yes, I have. And there are a lot of other, and like I say, but even if you look back in film to things like Metropolis, while the subtext was there, that was part of the subtext, was that these robots, these drones, were there for entertainment.
Well, then we get into like the VR world, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not all of us can write that check for $5,000. And oh, ladies, by the way, to be fair, real dolls actually make the male companion as well. They don't have as many options as said female companions, but there are out there. So that also brings into, and of course, what was the bad movie with Sylvester Stallone and Sandra Bullock?
Demolition Man.
Demolition Man. I wasn't going there yet. I know, but I was sitting there thinking, oh my God, this is what sex is going to be in the future. Oh, it makes me so sad.
Well, so, and if you look at...
In some cases, that could have been an improvement. I don't know.
Anyway, so... So if we look at some of the new toys and these ideas of people are now building relationships with artificial companions, in a lot of different ways. We see people in Japan having automated robotic assistance for healthcare, all these other things. Well, there's also people who have full-blown relationships with their sex dolls. There's even an article that came out not long ago with a guy who was talking about the fact that his wife left him because he had a better relationship with his real doll.
And that was also in Japan.
We're not going to blame that on the radiation at all. So now let's talk about Demolition Man and the... Did anybody here admit to watching Demolition Man?
Oh, yeah.
So... does everybody remember the thing where Stallone's like, I've been in the freezer for however long, and well, all right, let's get this thing going, and she comes out and puts a crown on his head. That's not exactly what I was expecting for you to rap. So, she sits down, and all of a sudden you see these flashes, these neural flashes. Does anybody here aware of what Google is planning to do and working on currently in terms of neural implants? Google is currently working on a system where they're looking to bury neural implants into your brain and other parts of your body so that you will be tapped into the internet at all times. Companies have already done this, but Google is looking to do it on a widespread commercial basis. So, the next generation of Google Glass. And so part of what gets into this with the neural responders is the ability to communicate between each other, the ability to pass sensitive responses to each other. It is meant to be a large, not only, hey, can I, Amazon, can you ship me another box of cat food? It's going to lead to technologies where people are able to connect on a much wider basis without having physical contact. We're actually moving to the realm where they're proposing this technology in the commercial environment in under 10 years. I think that's a little aggressive, but that's their current stated goal.
And we're already seeing the human side effects of this type of technology. You're seeing erectile dysfunction at a lot earlier age. Because we love our pharmacy in this company, in this organization, and in the United States or whatnot, we are big on the pill pushers. So you're seeing Viagra, Cialis, and those sex enhancement drugs prescribed at a lot younger age. And I think that's going to be a growing trend unless we can get some sort of awareness around the fact that you need to have more human contact and more interaction than just turning to a sex bot.
Well,
or
and
porn
I,
or any sort of artificial.
So, and as we talk about, technologies and the toys and the things we get to do and play with, just as easily, not only do they help us connect, they also separate us all. We have to understand what is it about the actual sensory touch of another human being and the difference between doing that and, say, a real doll, a love doll. If we look at some of the newer technologies that are coming out, we're now seeing things like, does everybody know what Oculus Rift is? Mm-hmm. For those of you who may not, this think about like the 3D glasses, the virtual reality environment, augmented reality. Augmented realities are going to become so regular, so much of a regular part of our lives. Everybody know what Pokemon Go was? Any of y'all still chasing those little things around in the neighborhood? That's augmented reality. Well, picture the day when, you are out there trying to date. Well, what if you don't actually have to leave your house for that? What if you're on one end and somebody you meet online is on the other end? You can have a full sensory experience with hardware that is currently off the shelf, commercially available today, where you can have and wear, in essence, a bodysuit that has pressure valves, things that move through it, so you can feel the touch of another person in a virtual environment and connect remotely. Now, most of these today are designed to work with one living being, the AI, and an immersive environment. Now, a lot of these things are being built as games in a lot of different ways, but they're already being built out there as sex technologies. So that you're in a virtual reality environment and the ability to feel simulated sensations.
And I mean, I'm already seeing that with probably the people that I coach that are in the 30s, but I'm even seeing this with the people in the 40s and 50s that they're talking about the fact that they're having these virtual relationships. And I'll ask the question, I'm like, have you met this person? Well, no, they live in so-and-so state. Are you going to meet them anytime soon? And they're like, well, you know, and the emotional involvement gets a little bit skewed because it's not even a phone conversation a lot of times. It's a lot of texting. It's a lot of messaging. And anybody that's in corporate environment, you know, email, messaging, whatnot, you don't get the tonality of what the person is saying. You don't get the body language. You don't get the visual cues. All of that sort of skews your perception, and you might think that they're more invested in you than they actually are, or they're less. I mean, it's really, really, really hard to tell. And this is something that keeps getting more prevalent. And I really thought, I had a conversation with someone last night. They're like, well, that's just the millennials. No, no, honey. 55-year-old client of mine, same type of scenario, because, again, he got into the phone, right? And it's becoming a real, real issue.
So as we look at some of these things, these new technologies, immersive environments, doing a little bit of research for this, I stumbled across a game where it's, you know, they've not yet gone to the fact of it's fully immersive with the, you know, with the Rift and some of these other technologies. But you can actually partner up with other people and have virtual relationships, very physical virtual relationships, all sorts of fun stuff in a virtual world. You can, you know, it's almost an MMO, you know, all right. It's almost a full multiplayer game where you can do all the hookups you want to. Zero G, you can do it in, you know, medieval world, and it's literally two players or three or four, and obviously, as you know, MMORPGs are, I can see what the new quest would be.
My whole thing is take the technology and bring it into your own life for your own use, but don't cut out the people, right? So if you want to spice up the bedroom, bring in the toys. If you have a lover that's on the road all the time, it makes for more interesting phone sex or FaceTime sex or Skype sex or whatever type of sex. But don't take out the human component. I do think that it makes a little bit easier for people to do a couple of things. I think it makes it a little bit easier to get you to know your own body, especially if you're a female, because there's an astonishing stats that I can't remember off the top of my head about female not knowing their own OBGYN type, like, where's my clitoris, these types of things, which is very sad. So I think that there's opportunities there. And for people that are painfully shy or whatnot, to be a little bit more comfortable with things related with sex, but it's not a replacement. And I mean, that's the bottom line.
So before we dive any further, who's got a question?
We like questions.
All right. Wonder Woman goes first. Wonder Woman always goes first.
This is fun. Okay, so we've talked about a lot of the concerns of VR and the real dolls and everything, but I'm curious about the benefits because, I mean, there's two sides to every story. So, for example, for those with kind of problematic fetishes, like those with zoophilia or pedophilia or stuff like that, could this be a way for them to realize those fetishes without being problematic in the real world. Could this be a way to for them to do that more easily without being problematic?
There have been some people that, especially in Europe, that have asserted that this might be an outlet for people that have those particular mm-hmm. tendencies. And because of the subject matter, it's really, really dicey. I think that there needs to be opportunity for research there. I think that most, I come from the belief system that if you repress something, it's going to come out in a healthy, unhealthy nature. Mm-hmm. I do not believe that people are born with pedophilia. I think that it is a programmed state based on their childhood upbringing, and inherently. So I think that there are other things that could be done to address those issues. However, I think that most things like that escalate, mm-hmm. and I don't think it would satisfy those urges. But there have been some assertions that that would deal with the issues with those types of things. That was one of the reasons why there was a backlash when it came out with Frigid Vera, mm-hmm. because she actually is programmed to say, "I'm comfortable if you hold my hand," or something along those lines. But obviously she can't say no. So if the person pushes it, then, you know, that gets into, it's a robot, so is there a consent, you know, and that sort of thing. And would this person take it to the next level? And statistically speaking, there's a lot of evidence from psychological studies that people will escalate and take that to the next level. Not all people will. But, you know, where's the mm-hmm. the benefit in that? And certainly the manufacturers, they have to take that into liability.
Right.
Right.
Well, so. And the thing I would add to that is I think that there are some circumstances where, yes, it can be very positive. Again, where if you are in a position of you have certain interests, certain fetishes and whatnot, yes, I think that it probably enables you, as long as that is something, you know, and it's a definition, again, of how do you define healthy. But again, it's a question of, is it something that allows you to explore something, or is it something that becomes an enabler and ultimately a trigger?
And there's a lot of sex therapists. I don't know if we have any sex therapists in the room, but there are a lot of sex therapists and sex educators that use these types of devices in a more positive way to deal with people that have gone through sexual trauma and whatnot, to sort of softly introduce them back into that world so that they can have at some point a normal sex life.
Oh,
and as technology advances, I think that there are more opportunities from a therapeutic standpoint to capitalize on that.
And I think that the AIs, as the AIs improve, we'll see that those give us better benefits.
They're just currently not being marketed that way.
Okay, I'm actually still pretty new to technology. I hope you forgive me if I use like incorrect terminology for that. But I've had this question kind of burning in my mind ever since you guys started talking about the VR thing. And you know, you did say you were here to have fun, so I'm hoping you guys can help
absolutely.
Me out. To clarify, you guys are telling me that there exists today technology where I can transfer Peebus somewhere else. And if I can transfer Venus somewhere else, where can I get this Peebus transferring technology? I just want to know, because I think
Japan.
And how big of a check are you willing to write?
A lot.
If you're all right.
Deep pockets for Peebus, man.
All right. So. Actually, Japan is actually the leader in a lot of these technologies because they have a lot invested in robotic systems for a lot of different uses. And so they actually right now are the leader in many of these things because culturally, while there is a tremendous amount of repression in Japan, and I've worked in Japan a very little bit and back and forth, and it's very structured. They're also willing to be very open in a lot of ways to go find new ways to play with that tech, those robotics. that's where a lot of it's coming out of. We're also seeing more and more of it come out of China because we have such, because of the one child policy that China had for so long. There is a lot of 40 and 50 year old men who have never seen or never will have the ability to have a quote unquote traditional male female relationship because there's not enough women for that to happen. And so China is now starting to invest in this because otherwise you got a lot of guys that are pissed off.
Lots of unused penis.
Yes.
Yes. Lot. Yes. Yeah. And
again, what you repress is going to come out in an unhealthy way.
Unhealthy penis.
Right. Yeah. And I, you know, if you're one of those people, if you choose celibacy, that's one thing. But by nature, we're just not wired that way. We're just really not. So it has to be a conscious decision.
True. Who's got it next? Oh, come back to you.
I'm curious. Have you noticed if there's a trend towards, I guess, vibrators and fleshlights, where the vibrators don't look so anatomically correct, but the fleshlights do? Is there any comment you guys have about that?
All right, so I'm going to throw in on this first. Is the idea of some of these sex toys as art? One of those things that I get to play with when I'm a good little boy occasionally, and I'm, you know, actually not, is playing with glass. I blow glass. I play with hot glass. I get a lot of stuff done. Former glass teacher, his nickname was Mr. Happy because of his main product lines. We've seen other people who actually now sculpt very elaborate toys, but if you didn't know that's what it was, it looks like a sculptural piece sitting on the table.
There is some of that. I think that from a more practical standpoint is I think that some of the marketing research has indicated that there's more money to be made in focusing on the female standpoint. I think that with, like I said earlier, you have more females that are actually being more involved in sex toy creation. And I don't think that there has been as much creativity looking at the male lines as there might have been for whatever reason. They seem to have, it's almost like, okay, so if you have a female designing or a female input in designing female sex toys, you get a little bit more creativity in contouring it and whatnot. But you also probably could be a little bit more successful if you had a female point of view, even with the male lines and whatnot, because I think that the attention to detail is a little more. I went through, there is a store here that has a showroom in Atlanta. Was it the Liberator? Is it Liberator? And I'm walking through, and they have, they're a big fetish shop as well. So I'm walking through, and I could pick out the toys that were designed by men versus the ones that had women input. I mean, it was really, even from a marketing, market study standpoint, if they did like user studies or whatnot, you're like, oh, okay, so this had some thought into it, and this is just like, I'm going to throw some shit out there. And the guy comes up and he's like, isn't this a great flogger? And it was a beautiful, it was a glass, because he's talking about glass and talking about art pieces, so I'll bring this up. It was a beautifully, it's a beautiful glass flogger, and it was completely straight. And I'm like, yeah, it needs some curves. And I also do glass work too. And I'm like, it wouldn't have been that hard to make that a lot more friendly for the woman. So I think that that's where some of that comes from. And the lion's share of the market right now is actually purchased by women. So that's also from that particular small sex toy standpoint. And right under vibrators for what is purchased is, I think, anal beads is the next one down. And I think then cock rings. And then I think you get to the fleshlights and stuff like that. So,
First off, this catchbox thing is awesome.
And those are great seashells.
Oh, thank you so much.
Very, very nice.
Yeah, these are my shell tits. But I just wanted to add to like your guys' answer on the gentleman with the purple dress shirt. There's actually like a company in. I was watching a Vice documentary, and it was about, you know, exactly what we're talking about now. And there's a company, I think it's in like Holland or Sweden or something like that, where they're developing a what looks like it's like a fleshlight for males, and a dildo for women. And you stick your penis in the fleshlight, and it simulates exactly what's going on over there. And apparently, Europe is really emerging when it comes to the electronic sex toy industry.
There's a lot more willingness to have open conversations with people, and most of what I'm seeing is startups are coming out of Europe, definitely. But I think that, I point out, this is a $30 billion industry. It's a $15 billion industry with sex toys. I think there is a lot of opportunity from a money standpoint to be made in this industry when it comes to certain areas. Security being one of them, because as we were talking about last night, these people might have some great ideas about great products, but they don't know shit about IT, and they don't know anything about IT. They just know they need to connect to the internet. So from an IT security standpoint, if that's your space and you're an open-minded individual, there is a lot of opportunity for consulting services that you could probably make with these particular verticals, because you know they don't have them in-house. Because, I mean, you have to have a pretty big IT house to have security people in place. But it seems to be, I had a friend of mine, because I worked for a Fortune 150 company, I told her what I was speaking on at DragonCon, and she shared it on LinkedIn, and people were freaked the hell out. They were like, oh, what? And we're like, yeah, there's a lot of money to be made in this particular arena, and people are just not willing to talk about it.
Oh, check.
Check.
This thing's cool. Okay. I'm sorry if this is sort of like a change of topic, but a few years ago...
But is it a fun topic?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
A few years ago, when I was in New York, I looked up and went to the Museum of Sex.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And while I was there, the second floor had a round of exhibits of different sort of niche sex toys, and they had like a big Dominatrix X, they had lots of pony play toys, they had examples of real dolls.
Mm-hmm.
And next to every exhibit, they had a screen that was like playing a slideshow of what these things were, what they were used for, blah, 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 like showing them in use, stuff like that. And I remember there was an exhibit called Cyber Sex.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a mannequin with a mid-90s pair of VR glasses,
mm-hmm,
connected by big cables to that looked like power gloves,
yep,
connected by even bigger cables to a codpiece.
Yep.
The screen was broken. So I never found out what these things actually were. I never found out what that thing actually was, and it's been haunting me for years. Do you have any idea what it could have been?
Unfortunately, yes, I do. So this actually came out of some of the early gaming tech of the early to mid-90s. So when cybersex became an actual term, there was a VR company that started out, and I cannot remember what it was off the top of my head, but they wanted to create some of the early augmented reality systems, and they built these gloves. So you could go in and manipulate objects and turn squares and circles, and they were going broke. So what they do, they put those circles on a square, and they put a Minecraft-type head on top of it. Now, do I need to start explaining triangles, squares, and circles? Do I need to go back and, you know, triangles, squares, circles? All right, if you buy me a beer after this is over, I'll explain it to you, and I'll draw you a picture. And then the codpiece, if I remember correctly, because they were going broke, they took these systems and they built them out. And the codpiece was kind of an early version of a fleshlight sort of thing. And if I remember right, they used warm water and pressure valves for stimulation. I have no idea. But the company's not in business anymore. The company's not in business anymore, so I'm going to go with the answer is no.
No.
All right, who's next?
I'm the unfortunate individual sitting next to the guy. I'm going to circle it back to sex toys. Regarding the industry and being for like males and females, I want to know about the toys and the future of actually giving toys to transgendered people and people who don't want it to be like marketed, this is for men, this is women. It's like, but I'm non-binary. How do I, where do I go? And you're like, you go to the glass section because that's all you. But I want to know like where the future is headed there. I've seen some stuff already, but there doesn't seem to be any like main marketing from big companies like Love Honey and so on. So I was wondering if you had any input on that.
No, I think that that is coming out of the niche market, right? I think that some of the startups that I've seen is trying to get that gender neutral space because, again, they see an opportunity. And because we have become a lot more accepting in that particular community, that's where you're going to see that. Because I think people are confused. They just don't know, from a product development standpoint, they're a little bit hesitant because most of the people that come into this market are coming in from a personal standpoint. They've got some part of personal need that they're trying to fill, right? At least the ones that I've spoken to and what I've seen from a startup standpoint. But I do think I've started to see just a little bit of that, but it's in a niche market, and it's coming more out of, again, out of Europe that's coming with that as well. It's almost like the demand is over here in the States, but it's like no one has the balls to do it. So somebody over in Europe is like, oh, I see a monetary opportunity, and I'm, you know, not squeamish, or I'm not this, or I'm not that, or I'm not judgy, or whatever, and they're bringing the capital to it. I will tell you guys, from a funding standpoint, from a venture capital standpoint, it is very, very hard in states to get funding for sex-related items. They're much more successful in Europe in doing that right now.
And the only thing I would add to that is this. The good news is because that community is becoming larger and larger, and I actually contributed to an anthology of short stories that was done as a charity for HB2 in North Carolina, which was kind of going and saying, hi, not all North Carolinians are assholes.
Very true.
But if you look, because numbers-wise our populations are growing, which means that overall percentage-wise, people who have different wants, needs, proclivities, and communities are large enough now that people can make money and produce quality products for what those niches need.
And that's what it comes down to a lot of cases is can we actually afford to produce X, Y, and Z? I mean, even I've struggled with this because my target market, one of my favorite characters is on the show Billions. It's Asia Kate Dillon, who identifies as gender non-binary, and she talks about clothing and whatnot being gender neutral. And I sit there and I'm like, okay, so I start looking at my own marketing and whatnot, and I'm a coach, and I'm sitting there, well, most of my target market, though, is heterosexual men. That is my ideal client. That's most of what I coach. So I'm sitting there going, well, I want to be inclusive, but, you know, this, that, and the other. But I think that from a sex toy standpoint, it's the, I would like to service X, but I also want to be able to make the money. So, and not knowing how to market that. So until you see more demand and people stepping up to the plate, willing to take that risk in their own space, I don't think you're going to see a whole lot of progress there.
But the good news is Deadpool increased the demand for unicorn sex dolls. Please. Next question.
You're back.
So you guys addressed kind of a moral hazard with the advent of these more advanced technological...
Can you speak up just a little bit?
So you guys addressed a moral hazard with the advent of these increased technological sex toys. You know, people seem to be less prone to actually want a real human connection when they can achieve it much more quickly and, you know, whatever, artificially. I'm curious, what is your guys' advice for people who, you know, for this prone generation that might be at risk of these kinds of things? What would your advice be to help bring back a sexual revolution?
Well, I think it's a couple of things. If you are not, because I do believe the human connection is a primal need, I think the reason why you wouldn't want to have that is because it's rooted in some sort of fear. There is so much that we do because of what other people might think of us, right? Or what our self-worth issues are or whatnot, right? So there's a lot of opportunity for people to overcome those. So I would reach out to someone to help. It's not going to go away. So I say use it to our advantage. And I think that I think technology is great as long as you're using it to your benefit, but it's not a substitution. And if you are in that place where you're like, well, I prefer this, you have to ask your question, why is that, right? And be able to push through that fear, because that it's primal. We want to be touched. There are many, many studies in about children, even as babies, of how they progress when they're being touched and when they're being held as infants versus when they're not. When my clients are out of relationships and they're talking about they're feeling lonely, X, Y, and Z, I will recommend different types of self-care for them to get that touch. Massages, you know, and that sort of thing. Because we need that contact. We need that contact. And it affects us adversely when we don't have it.
And the other part I would add to that is this. It's not about technology's evil. We're not saying that any of this is good or evil inherently. It's how do we use it? It's like any other tool. And
I think it's just another tool.
It's just another tool. And I think that's one of those things that we've, as a society, have not been willing to look at and talk about, is it's a primal need, a primal drive. There is a reason that this room is packed on a Saturday night when the party's going on outside.
But we all know what you're going to be doing afterwards.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there's a primal need, and so we need to remember that anything that we're using, whether it is part of a physical relationship with a partner, whether you're in presence or not, is are you using the tools in a healthy, positive way?
Okay, I kind of have two questions, and it's a little bit speculation. You mentioned that one of the barriers to getting a solid American market was, you know, this lack of interest in kind of balling up and growing a pair and putting up the venture capital to do it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the pressure would be, and will it ever happen, to cause that market to kind of emerge here? And on a larger scale, you know, I mean, these toys... they exist, they're here, they're coming, they're making you come, whatever.
We hope so. God, we hope so. And we hope they're coming well.
Should be. How do you think that's going to change the American tendency to just kind of be squicked about sex in general?
All right, so I'll start and then you can
all
finish.
Right.
So from a capital infusion standpoint, I think Silicon Valley in itself and all capital, venture capital things are going through this whole thing right now because of Travis and whatnot, there's a lot of awareness around what's being funded and what's not and how it's being funded in Silicon Valley. And just as a side note, my personal opinion is if you are standing in your true masculine power, you do not fear women. You have a reverence for them. And if you're standing in your feminine power, you're not threatened by men either. You also have a reverence for them. But that's another speech for another time. I think that we are on the cusp of a sexual revolution a la the 60s because the tech is here and it's going to force it. I think that... And I think there's a lot of greedy people in the world, and including the United States. I think you just have to get to the right ones to do it. I think that the popularity of 50 Shades of Grey, although not a great... I know. People cringe when I say this, but here's what I'll say. It was a very poorly written book, in my opinion. And I did... Okay. All right. I read all of them because, well, I mean, given what I do for a living, it's also, I read all of them. But they were very, very popular. They made the movies out of them. The movies were also pretty popular. Suffer through, people. Suffer through. I knew people that were in the lifestyle that were pissed off because it doesn't represent well. And I know people that were very, very angry because they think they don't understand the lifestyle and they think it's, you know, unhealthy. The reality is there can be unhealthy relationships on both sides. But what to me what it did is it opened the door for and gave us an opportunity to talk about sex in a different way. Right? And I think it speaks to the desire to have more conversations around it. So I think that it's such the building now, and I think that with the tech, it's just pushing that we're going to see, a compilation of that for pretty quickly.
So the other side of that, so if you were listening to me ramble about venture capital yesterday, or what is today? Anyway,
it was yesterday morning.
Sometime Friday, I started talking about venture capital and getting money. It's a matter of finding the right guys with the right amount of money to front it, and I believe that this industry is going to become self-propagating, much like many others. But here's the other interesting side of that. You know, you ask about a sexual revolution. We're kind of already there. We're already past it, and if we look now, sex sells. Sex sells everything.
Sex always sells. When I built my first data warehouse, when I was on the project to build the first data warehouse, those cable companies back in the day, it was porn. We loved y'all ordering some porn because that was the big driver before the internet got really, really big. So it's always been there in the background. It's just now getting a little bit more in the forefront.
But here's the other side to that. While we've gone into a sexual revolution in a way where in many ways it is very there, very up front, we're going to put the chickie in a bikini mowing down on a Hardee's burger like a... Anyway. You know, so we're showing that. We're showing hypersexuality very unrealistically. So if we look at educationally how kids are learning, they're able to get, you know, they're learning from porn, which is not realistic somehow. I don't understand. But from what I have heard at dinner tonight, the Batman versus Superman porn was much better than the movie. And very low bar. But here's the next side of this. I think the next step in the sexual revolution is not opening it up and freeing it. I think it's taking what's been a taboo subject and making it part of the normal conversation, part of normal life, part of normal commerce. And it's going to be one of those things where these new tools and technologies are also going to be available to be used for educational purposes. It's going to be able to be used to help people through. I mean, I firmly believe there is a tremendous amount of positivity that's going to come out of these technologies.
And if you went the other route where you use the technologies and to open up the conversation, so you're leaning towards more creative outlets where you're exploring more along the tantric side, where you're going down the path of sacred sexuality side and whatnot. I think that's where it really has a great opportunity to improve your personal relationships, not only with your partner, but also with yourself, because when you're a fully expressed sexual being, you tend to be a lot less likely to let the noise around you affect you. Most of my clients make a lot more money, and they're just a lot happier. They're just a lot happier.
All right.
So, I know you spoke about like the sex dolls and stuff earlier.
Yes.
But it seems like lately, more in the realm of the affordable, a big trend has been. You also mentioned like the device type remotes. And also the ones that kind of react to sound, things like that. And I'm speaking to kind of the Cam 4 chatterbait type things. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of where it is now? I mean, is it going to, you know, as it moves on, technology gets cheaper. So maybe in 30 years, everybody will have a sex doll. But, well, hopefully not, you know, because we all want the touch. But,
oh, they'll do different things then.
Sure. So is there something Yeah, right. Is there something new on the horizon beyond, you know, the apps? Because I would imagine the apps have not only the security, but also you've got like Apple probably is not a big fan of sex toy type.
You might apps. Be surprised about that. So here's the thing is I think that from a corporation standpoint, it's going to everybody's looking at this as a business. So from a from that standpoint, I think that you are going to see technology get, it's like everything else, it's going to be cheaper. I think that you're going to see a lot more devices that are going to pull data back to warehousing, because basically when they collect that data, they're doing it for two reasons. Either they want a better product development or they want to sell you something else, right? Because that's how we're programmed. I mean, when WeVibe went through their lawsuit, which was about a $4 million hit for them, they didn't admit anything that they were doing wrong. Their EULA was very, very gray. I actually own that device that the lawsuit was about. But they were more concerned, and they were willing to take that risk, right? So I think that that's the trend that you're going to see. And there's always going to be the low bar, right? I mean, you can get a remote-controlled vibrator that has an app for, like, I think I know a couple of them that's, like, less than $100, right? So I think it depends on its consumer demand, right, and whatnot. But you are going to have those people that are willing to write that $15,000 check because, in their mind, it's cheaper than dating.
All right, I'm told we have time for one last more. Question.
Make it good.
Great. No, so,
the pressure's on.
I'm just curious, both your thoughts on this, and especially yours because of your occupation. But so when we talk about virtual reality, or we talk about these sex toys a lot of times, or even the internet, you're seeing kids go to the internet to learn
yes.
about sex, or we're using the sex toys as a means to get off because we don't have the ability to go out to the bar and try to pick somebody up, so it's a little bit easier just to sit at home and turn on the computer. So I'm just curious, do you think if prostitution was actually legalized, it would give outlets for these younger folks to learn, or it would give folks that didn't have
I love this question.
The ability to go out to the club, it would still give them a release point and still maintain that touch at the same time.
So here's my personal opinion on prostitution. It's very similar to Karl Lagerfeld's, who of course is a famous designer. I believe that prostitution should be legal. I do, because I think that there are I think it's already happening, right? And it's an age-old thing that's been happening for a very, very long time. I think there does need to be some regulation around it. I think that I think it would help with the introduction for those people that are so painfully shy or brought up with purity culture. And again, purity culture would be another topic that I love to talk about and love to bust. But I think it would bring another opportunity, because I think some of the people that are going down this path, they feel like that's their only option, because who the fuck wants to be in jail? Sorry, Scott, I'm sorry. Who the hell wants to be in jail? so sorry. Late night panel, sorry. I know. But yes,
you obviously have never had John Harkness on this panel line.
So true. But yeah, that I do think that there would be, because I also like options, right? And there might be people in here. But I also, on the flip side, I think that would also affect the sex slave industry and whatnot, and that would drive that down. Which I personally worked with some people in Charlotte, because Charlotte is a hub for sex slaves. I think that there's a lot of opportunity to shore that up if it was also legal. So
can we sneak one more in?
Oh.
Yeah.
Atlanta's actually the biggest city in the world for human sex trafficking.
Yes, yep. because of the
we're in a
transport.
Triangle.
We're a transport hub.
So it's like, I think between Atlanta, Nashville, and actually where I'm from, Huntsville. And it actually is a big problem, and I can speak so from experience. I've almost been kidnapped 3 times myself, walking home from campus on winter days in broad sunlight. So
yeah, they're pretty aggressive. They have gotten pretty aggressive.
Yeah.
Very, very aggressive, especially for a certain types.
Yeah, so I would like to see that be more of an option. I would just like to see that be more of an option.
Yeah, I do think it would help. I really, really do.
Well, I think we're being booted out.
Yes.
But please,
thank you all for coming. Thank you so much. And thank our volunteers, because I know that they wanted to sleep a little bit more tonight, and I really, really, really appreciate them allowing us to have this panel and have this discussion.